We're holding on Chof Gimel Amud Beis, middle of the Amud. Not by the two dots. Yep. We had in the Mishnah like this. So we said if a woman miscarries a baby that is shaped like an animal, like a domestic or wild animal or a bird, so we said Rameyer says that she's tummy from the birth. It's considered as if she gave birth to a regular baby, and the Chachamim say that not. The Chachamim said Kol She'ein Baichola, if it doesn't have the shape of a human being, then it's not considered a baby, and therefore, so if there was blood with it, then she's tummy from the blood. If not, then it depends whether we say Efshel Kever B'Leidam, whether we would say she's tummy, as that there must have been blood or not, as the case may be. Okay, so the Gemara says, so there's two ways of explaining, but basically the Machlokes is that Rav Meir is saying if it's shaped like an animal, it's still considered a baby, and it has the din of a baby as far as the Yumei Tum of a Tara, and the Chum say that not.
So the Gemara,
we had four or five different explanations for why Rav Meir says what he does. Is it because of the greater shove of a yisir between people and animals? Is it because they have their eyes in the front of their head like human beings? And in that case, it would apply also to certain types of birds. Maine. We had several different ones. But now we have further on that. Omer of Yumi ba'aba Omer Rav. Hakol Moedim. Everybody, Rav Meir and the Chachamim would agree. Gufay Kaya Shupon of Adam. Suppose that the body of the baby looks like a goat or any other kind of animal. Upon of Adam. And the face of it completely looks like a human's face. Kaya is a goat, yeah. Just using it as an example, it would mean obviously any other animal, same thing. So if the body looks like a goat, a pun of Adam, but the face of it looks like the face of a person, there's no question Adam that it's considered a human being, and even the Chachamim would agree that the mother has the dinim of a yelet, because you go according to the face. Gufay Adam, a pun of Tayish, if it's the other way around, the body looks like a person's body, but the face looks like the face of a goat. The loy klum, then it wouldn't be counted as anything. Even Rav Meir would say that such a thing doesn't count as a baby.
One second.
Loy nechlaku, the machloikas, is only elish upon of Adam, the nivra ba'ayin achas kebehema. The machloikas would be, though, if the face of the baby is like a human being, but it has ba'ayin achas, literally means with one eye, but we'll see in a second what that means, kebehema, like a behema. So basically, it looks like a person, but it partially looks like a behemoth. Now, you have over here a machlokas between Tosfos and the Ramban, and the Ramban learns that Rashi also learns like him. What is the situation over here? Now, we had on Omer Aleph, we had the various opinions of what Rav Meir holds and why he holds it, because there's a greater shava between people and animals, or because they have their eyes in front, or because the eye is socket, or the eye itself is shaped like a human being's, et cetera, et cetera. So Tosfos learns that this is not a continuation of that machlokas. Tosfos learns that this is a separate machlokas. There we were talking about if the baby completely looks like an animal, then we would say, for example, on the basis of the Gzeira Shava or the various other reasons over there, we would say that Meir would consider it a baby and the Chachamim would not. Now we're talking about if it's partially like a person and partially like an animal. So that's a separate machlokas. So according to Tosfos, that's why we didn't bring this before. That's why we're only bringing this now. Rav is not necessarily arguing with all the explanations on about Aleph, because there we were talking about that the baby completely looked like an animal, and here we're talking about that it looks partially like an animal.
So according to that, the
difference is it would be a separate machloket. It would be a separate situation. Right. The Ramban, on the other hand, learns, he says that Rashi learns like this as well. He understands Rashi to be saying as well that, no, it is a continuation of the same machlokas as before. He has a way of explaining our Gemara that way. That's fine. You had a machlokas before where a mayor is saying that if it looks like an animal, and now Rav has a whole different understanding that if it completely looks like an animal, even the mayor is not going to say it's considered a baby. The only way he would is if it partially looks like an animal.
But that's a different machlokas.
No, according to that, that's the same machlokas. It's a continuation of the same machlokas. According to the Ramban's understanding, Rav is arguing with all the explanations that we had on Amar Aleph. Not that. It's not because you learned from Vayitzer, it's not this, it's not that, whatever. It's when it partially looks like... Right. Okay. So, if it basically has a human face, and it has ayin achas kebehema, one eye like a behema, now one eye Because part of the machlokas over here is whether one eye, I mean literally just like one eye looks like an animal's eye and everything else looks like a human, does it mean that, or does it mean, Tosfos talks about over here, it may mean that one whole side of the baby's face looks like an animal. When we say ayinachas, we don't just mean one eye, we mean everything on that side of the face. One eye, that part of the forehead, no, so then it's half human, half animal. Right, so that would be part of it. So then, should a male or
human... It's not human.
No, no, no. So if it's half the face looks like a human, the left side...
And if the other part looks like an animal...
That's not the point. The point is that here we have, according to Tosfos' way of learning it, what we're saying is, let's say that if you have a baby that's born, the body of it is immaterial for our purposes. We're focusing strictly on the face. If the face itself looks half... One side of the face looks like an animal's face, and the other side looks like a human's face, that would be the machlokes. Should a male or human surah adam? A male says as long as it has anything of the surah, anything of the form of a person, then it's considered a baby, even though it's not completely. But chamim calls surah adam, whereas the chamim would say it has to have the entire
so face. That we didn't bring before.
So that's the point. Again, according to Tosfos, this is a new machlokes where we have a new situation. Before we were talking about where it's all animal, here we're talking about where it's half animal. According to the Ramban, we're talking about that this is a continuation about machlokas, where Rav would learn that if it's all animal, everybody agrees it's not a baby, and the only machlokas between a male and the chachamim is if it's half animal, half baby.
Okay.
That's fine. This is Rav's explanation. So either it is Rav is saying there's a new machlokas, which we learn from the wording of the Mishnah, that there's two points that they're arguing about, one if it's all animal and one if it's part animal. And the other one, according to the Ramban, that we're talking still a continuation of the same machlokas. That instead of it being an argument when it's all animal, it's machlokas only when it's part animal. Okay. So Amaloi Rabbi Abba. So Omruloi, it says on the side. So they said to Rabbi Yirmiyahu Abba, how could you say that that's machlokas? V'ha'ifchatanya, we have a brisa that says the other way around. That says Rameyo on the kol suras v'chamim mitzuras. The other way around, the mayor says it has to have the complete form of a person, and the chacham would say as long as it has some of the form of a person. So the exact opposite of what we said. Amalahu, so answers them, itanya tanya. Okay, if you have a braisa, then you have a braisa. I heard what I said, I didn't come up with on my own. I heard it from Rav. Rav himself is a tana. He's actually able to argue with braisas. You have a braisa that says the opposite. There's only, hey, you can follow your braisa if you want. I'm not changing my opinion.
He heard it from Rav,
so therefore I have my version that I heard from Rav. You have a Braisa that says differently. Fine, you're welcome to your Braisa.
Braisa is not as strong as
a Braisa.
Statement of a Tana.
No, Braisa is a statement of a Tana, but Rav himself is a Tana. So therefore, Rav is a little taller. He's considered a Tana. He's considered half Tana, half Amora. Therefore, he can be arguing with us. So therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Abba is telling them that you have a Braisa, very nice. It doesn't contradict because I heard what I heard from Rav. So you can follow your Braisa, but I'm going to follow my understanding. Okay. Tanya, we learn in a braisa. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu Ba'aba, Amar Rav Yechanan. Rav Yirmiyahu Ba'aba says in the name of Rav Yechanan, and this is a different Rav Yirmiyahu Ba'aba, because before we had the Rav Yirmiyahu Ba'aba, who's from Bavo, and he's saying in the name of Rav, this is Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba. Yeah, this is Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba, who's a different, he's an Amora from Eretz Yisrael, and he's saying in the name of Rav Yechanan. What it is netzach, it has to be that the forehead, v'agvinim, and the eyebrows, v'ha'inayim, and the eyes, v'ha'lososos, and the cheeks, or the jaws, whatever, the gabos hazakon, and the chin, adji, you call them ke'echad, only if they all look, according to the Rabbanon, only if all of those look like a person's face, only then do we consider it to be a human baby. So not like we were saying before that according to Rav Meir, that if it's half, that we said, so in other words, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'aba in the name of Rav Yechanan is basically agreeing with what Rav Yirmiyahu Ba'aba said in the name of Rav, according to the Chachamim. The Chachamim had said it has to have kol tzuras adam, the entire form of a person. So now Rav Yechanan is clarifying, what do we mean? The entire form of a person means that those five features of the face, both sides have to look like a human, and none of them should look like an animal. Which again, since one,
the forehead,
the metzach is the forehead, gvinim is the eyebrows, einayim is the eyes, lasosis is the cheeks, and gabos hazakon is the chin. So all five of
those gabos,
gavim, both sides of the chin. Both sides of the chin. Well, there's one chin, but it has, like anything else in the body that's symmetrical, it's formed from two different parts that join together, right? So you could conceivably have, if you're going to have a mutation over here, you could have one that affects one side and not the other. you know, you have Moldeuses and whatever, you know, you have different things. So, okay. The point is, though, I mentioned yesterday, the Rambam says that given that all Gemara does not mention the shape of the mouth and the shape of the nose and the shape of the ears, then those don't matter. Even if the baby has a mouth and a nose and ears that look like animals, that doesn't matter. As long as these, and the ears actually mentioned here in the Gemara. Okay.
So
Rabbi Yirmiyah Ba'aba is telling us the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, and that as long as those five features look like a human face, then we don't care about anything.
An owl
has the
doesn't
just,
have a chin.
So in that case, it's not right. Rava Omer Chasa. Rava says in the name of Chasa, which is the name of an Amora. It doesn't have to be both sides. Mesach, the forehead, by Gibbain, and the eyebrow in the singular, Vaha Ayin, and the eye in the singular, Vaha Leses, and the cheek also in the singular, Vagabas Hazoken, and the chin also in the singular. Adshi Yukulim Kacha, so it has to be all of them together according to the Chachamim. And the Gemara points out, the light pliggy, they're at Rabba's version and Rabbi Yirmiyah Ba'aba's version are not actually arguing. It depends. We had the opinions of Rameyer and the Chachamim, and we had Rav's version of their Machlokas, and we had the Braisa's version, where one version is that it has to be Mitzurah, as long as it has some of the form of a human face, and it's considered a human baby. And the other was that it has to be Kolzurah, the entire form. So Rava's version and Rabbi Yochanan's version, where Rabbi Yochanan's version that mentions that you have to have the eyebrows plural and the eyes plural, etc., means both sides. Rava's version would be that one side is enough because that's Mitzurah Adam. Okay. So the Gemara says, mate, so you have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Surah Ponim Shamru, this human face that we're talking about, that the baby has to be considered a baby, and to be considered a baby that the mother should be tummy from giving birth to. It means even if only one part of the face is like that, for example, the one eye, or one part of the forehead, or whatever, then it's considered a baby. Chutz min ha'ozen, with the exception of the ears, because we don't care what shape the ears are. So Rava is saying that you need all five of them, just you only need one side for each of the five of them. As long as one eye and one cheek, etc., looks like a human, then it's good enough. The Braisa seems to be saying that. As long as one eye looks like a human, then already it's enough. The answer is lememra de bachad nami sagi, implying that just one out of the five is enough, even if the other four, so you have altogether, for our purposes, 10 features on the face, two sides,
five
double features, right? The Rava is saying that you need five of them to look like a human. The Braisa seems to be saying you need only one. The answer is omra
bayit. Why the Braisa seems to be?
Because the Braisa is saying that's the pouch of echad mina partsofin. Even only one feature of the features is enough. So it's one.
Parsuf is a whole face.
No, parsuf can mean one feature of the face. So one feature is enough. So the answer is Omar Abaya, Kitanya hi la'akif tanya. That Braisa is talking about, is saying the other way around. That the Chachamim who hold, as we said before, that you need kol tzura, that you need the entire image of the face, they would say, therefore, that if even one out of these five double features, if even one out of these 10 features, it looks like an animal, then it's not considered a baby. So therefore, it's the other way. So Rava is telling us that what the minimum is for it to be considered
right,
a baby.
Five.
But that's according to the mayor,
right.
As long as they have five out of the 10.
Right.
But the Chachamim would say you need all 10 of them, and the Braisa is going according to that. Okay. So the Braisa is telling us that the ears don't count. Rashi points out that the Abaya could have answered that the Braisa is according to the mayor, but the Abaya would rather make the Braisa go according to the Chachamim, because after all, the halachas like them. Okay. The Iboyasema, or another possibility, you could explain the Braisa this way. La'olam commander Oma Mitzurah. Maybe after all, the Braisa is like the opinion that all you need is partial features to look like a human for it to be considered a baby. Well, my echad, so what does the Braisa mean? When it says echad, it means echad, echad. It means out of each of these five features, one out of the two sides has to look like a person. So one eye, it means echad doesn't just mean, for example, one eye and the whole rest of the face looks like an animal. It means one eye and one cheek and one side of the, and one side of the forehead, etc. So then it would be,
that
then, well, no, but then it would be, like
yeah,
we said,
one.
No, that's what we said. No, that's the point. In other words, Reb Meir had said before that Reb Meir had said meat suraf, as long as it has some of the features of a person, and we said that that meant that. So Rava had explained that that meant, in the name of Chasa, that it means that you have to have that of the two sides of the face, one side has to look completely human, all five of those features.
That's not possible. I can want just one side look human.
I just said before, you have mosaicism, for example. You have a baby that's where part of the fertilized egg, part of, you know, some of the cells had a mutation, some didn't. Whatever, so you have such things. So you can have in this case that
you can have it.
So therefore, you can have in this case that one side of the baby's face develops normally and looks like a human face, and the other side develops with a mutation and looks like an animal's face. The Rava had said as long as one whole side looks like a human, then the Meir would say it's considered a baby. We're saying that the Braita means one feature, but we're saying it doesn't mean one feature out of the total 10. It means one each of the five features out of the two sides, the five features. One side of the forehead and one eyebrow, etc., which is exactly the same thing as Rava said. One side of each of the five features. So one side of the forehead and one eyebrow. Not 1 out of 10. 5 out of 10. One eyebrow and one eye. Okay. Fine. More dinim on this topic. Suppose that the baby is formed and it only has one eye or one leg. So what's the din? Min hatzad, so it depends. If that one eye or the one leg is on the side of the body where it belongs, then the mother is tamei because then it's considered to be a normal enough baby. It's obviously a misformed baby and may not live long or whatever, but at least basically it's still human. It's just a human it's just a deformed human. As opposed to the emsa, but if the eye or the leg is in the middle, so like if the cyclops that has an eye in the middle of its forehead, let's say, then the mother is tahor because that's not even considered a human baby at all. That's not even considered a deformed baby. That's not considered a baby at all. Yeah. Okay. Amar Rava. The Rava says another thing. Veshtay nakul. Suppose that the baby is born with a perforated food pipe, a perforated esophagus, which would make it terefa. Nevertheless, the mother is still tame, because even though Rashi and Tosfos say over here that Rava is going according to the opinion we've learned a number of times. We've learned the Cholin, we've learned it sporadically since then, but there's machlokas tanoim whether terefa chaya. Can an animal or a person, for that matter, that has one of the 70 conditions that would make it terefa, is it capable of living more than 12 months? So we had a machlokas about it. So Rashi and Tosfos both explain over here that Rava is following the opinion that Shreifa Chaya. Therefore, even though the baby may be at Shreifa for having a poop.
The positioning here in Kulin?
No, so actually Tosfos points out that there are other Gemaras that seem to imply that Rava himself says that that says the opposite. So therefore Tosfos says that there may be two different versions of what Rava himself holds. Anyway, so the point is, even though it's a trefa, but Rava would hold trefa chaya, therefore it's considered a regular baby, and therefore the mother is tamei for the birth. The Ramban disagrees with that whole concept. Among others, the Ramban says, why should we make our Gemara go according to the opinion that's not acceptable halacha? And anyway, the Ramban says, who cares whether trefa chaya or not? We never said that a baby, that whether it's considered a baby as far as the dinim of Leda depends on whether it can live long at all. So therefore, no, it's simply that Rava is saying the fact that it has a perforated esophagus doesn't matter. It's still considered a baby. Yes, it's a trefa. Maybe trefa ain't a chaya. Fine, it's not going to live very long. Nevertheless, it's still a baby, right? On the other hand, and he points out, so there's no real chiddush in that. The chiddush in it, according to the Ramban, is really the next case that Rava is going to talk about. He just mentioned this case as an introduction. Okay. So the next case is Veshtei Otum, but if his esophagus is closed up, so like it's a solid thing, then the mother is tahor, because then you can't even call that a deformed human being, because normal a human being has to have an esophagus. So like this.
Hey, one second.
Yeah.
You're saying the esophagus is.
Is otum. It's closed up. Right? Sosum. Now she says it's closed up. Yeah. In other words, at one end or the other, it's sealed shut. It didn't develop normally along from the mouth to the.
Who lives or just time now.
Okay, so that gets into the whole question of whether Tureh B'chaya applies, when do we say that Tureh, even if you can do modern surgery or whatever. But, I mean, you could also, we should also understand that Veshtei Atrum over here doesn't just mean that it's closed up at one end. It means, like, the whole thing is a solid mass instead of being a normal esophagus. I don't think they can do surgery for that even.
No, literally.
Yeah, that's the point.
They can still do it.
Maybe, okay. Okay. Turn it up on them. We learn in a bright. So further in this topic of things that are optimal.
Surgery replacing.
Okay.
Fine.
Trachea. Okay, fine. All right. Okay. We did actually learn in colon, though, that the trachea, the windpipe, can be injured more than the esophagus, and an animal can still be kosher. We said over there that the windpipe, you can have holes in it, you can have less than half of it can be cut through, etc.
An animal without a windpipe.
No, but we also didn't talk about an animal without an esophagus. But here we're talking, here we're focusing on human babies, right? Okay, fine. Turn it up on her. Pelas guf atum, if she miscarries a closed-up body, meaning, in other words, a body that's not, it's not really formed, it doesn't really have any delineation of shape at all, it's just like a big chunk, in ima tmei later, then the mother is not tamei from birth. That is zehu guf atum. What purpose, to what extent do we consider it atum? To what part has to not be delineated in shape for it to be called atum? Rebbe Omer Kadesh Yid Natum and Achai V'Yomus. Rebbe says, if enough of the body is missing and has not been formed, that if an equivalent amount was removed from a living person, it would kill them. V'Kama Yid Natum and Achai V'Yomus. Okay, so how much is that? How much of the lower part? We're talking the lower parts of the body. As Gemara is going to say soon, we're not talking about if the head is missing, for example. So in the lower part of the body, in the lower half of the body, how much has to be missing? So 1 second. So now we have a couple of opinions. Reb Zakkai Omer Adva Akuba. Reb Zakkai says if it's missing its legs until the knee. So in other words, from the knee and below the knee is missing. So again, with an animal, as we learned in Cholin, that would make an animal trefer. So therefore, in this case, the baby is also considered trefa. Rashi says then Reb Zakkai is taking the opinion that trefa ain't a chaya, that again, since this baby is a trefa, it's not going to live, and therefore it can't be considered a baby. The Ramban would go according to his shita. He would say it's not a question of being trefa so much, we're just using that as an illustration, that therefore it can't really be considered a deformed baby. Because if it's missing so much, then it can't really be...
Not just an angle.
We said from the knees downward. Okay, anyway, that's Reb Zakkai.
From the knees
to the bottom of it. So everything else is formed normally, but below that is not. Rav Yana Ema Abla Nekavav. Rav Yana says further up, it has to be that he's missing from his orifices and downward, meaning, in other words, from the pelvis and downward, basically. So Rashi explains he holds Tirei Fachaya. So therefore, fine. Yes, if it's missing below the leg, it's not going to live very. If it's not missing below the knee, it's not going to live very from the knee, from above the knee. That is, from just above the knee and below, it's not going to live very long because it's a trefa. Again, how it is nowadays is a whole other question. We talked before about what the Rambam says about modern medicine versus halacha.
The Gemara doesn't mention here. They didn't ask anything about this.
Right, because I guess we know from halacha what is and isn't the trefa, and therefore, but yeah, but actually now that you mention it, we will get to soon something interesting there where actual observation is involved and what that does to the halacha. We'll get to that topic soon. Okay. Anyway, so again, Rav Yanai says I don't care if it's missing from the leg from the knee and downward. It's true, it'll be a trefa, but so what? Trefa chaya. But if it's missing from the pelvis downward, well, if true, it's relevant first of all as far as animals when we say
for humans.
Well, according to Rashi and Tosfos, the question is if the baby is called a trefa, then the mother is not tamei from the birth. That's what they're learning. What the Gemara is saying over here throughout this whole sugya, that if the baby is to be considered a trefa, if we say trefa ain't a chaya, then she won't be tamei from the birth. If we say trefa chaya, then she will be. Okay. Anyway, so Rav Yanai says only if it's missing from the pelvis downward, because in the case of an animal, such a creature would be nevela. So therefore, by baby also, you can't consider it a deformed baby. You have to consider it not a baby at all. Rav Yechanan, Rav Yosef ben Yeshua, ad mokam taburo. Rav Yechanan, in the name of Rav Yosef ben Yeshua, says a little bit higher, if it's missing, if the baby is missing, if it hasn't been formed, the baby hasn't been formed, from the navel and downward. Okay. So let's understand what the underlying argument between them is. Ben Rav Zakkai le Rav Yanai Ikabinai or Treifa Chaya. Rav Zakkai and Rav Yanai are arguing over the point, can a Treifa live for a long term? Marsava Treifa Chaya or Marsava Treifa Enechaya. Namely that Rav Yanai holds the Treifa could very well live long. So therefore, even though they both agree that if it's missing the knee and what's below the knee, that it's going to be treifa, same as an animal. But Rav Yanai would say, I don't care. The baby can still live with that. So therefore, you can still consider it a baby, only if it's missing from the pelvis downward, then not, because then it would be in the case of an animal and a bela. Whereas Rav Zakkai would hold treifa ain't a chaya. Once it's missing from the knee downward, it's not going to be able to live for very long, and therefore it can't be considered a baby as far as the dinim of a woman giving birth. Ben Rav Yanai, Rav Yechanan, Ikke Ben Ayo, Dirabal Lazer. As far as what's the underlying argument between Rav Yanai and Rav Yechanan, they're arguing regarding what Rav Lazer says. The Amar Rav Lazer, Nito Yerach B'Chol Shalom Nevela. We learned this in Cholin a couple of times, that Rav Lazer says that if the thigh of an animal was removed, and you can see the hollow where the thigh, like this you have, there's a socket in the pelvis that the thigh bone fits into. So if the thigh has been removed from the animal to the point where now you can see the open socket over there, so then the animal is considered nevela. It's not even considered treifa, where at least if you shecht it, then it doesn't have too much nevela. It's considered nevela. It's as if it's already dead. So it's already like a major part of it has been removed. So therefore, so Rav Yochanan would disagree with that. Therefore, he would say the fact that the baby is missing its body from the pelvis downward, which means that it's missing the thigh bone also, it doesn't matter. It's still viable. Whereas and therefore it can't be considered a nevela. Only if it's missing from the navel downward would it be. Whereas Rav Yochanan would say that it is considered a nevela and therefore it can't be considered a baby. Okay. Fine. Amar Papa, so the Papa says about this whole machlokas, machlokas milamata lamayla. This whole argument is where the baby is missing the lower half of its body. We're talking working from the bottom, from the feet, and going upward. How high up can be missing, and the baby is still considered a baby, and the mother is tummy from the birth. Avam milamayla lamata. But if we're talking from above to below, we're talking about from the head and going downward. I feel a colder hutahara. Even if a small amount is missing, then she'd be tahara because the baby is going to be a treifa. Now, when we say a small amount, we don't just mean, you know, like the head is flattened a little bit. We mean that it's missing the kind of thing that we learned in Hilchos Treifas, that we learned in Cholin. For example, you have a part of the skull, and according to many Rishonim, also you'd have to have that part of the meninges that cover the brain are missing. Then already the baby would be considered a treifa, parallel to the way it would be in an animal, and therefore then there's no question that it wouldn't be considered a baby as far as these things. V'chein Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav Yechanan. Rav Gidol said in the name of Rav Yechanan something similar. Hamapelas Esther Gogolte Atruma. If the mother miscarries a baby that has a skull that is otum, so here Rashi translates otum as chasera, that's missing. That's missing part of what's supposed to be there from the skull. Then imoy tahara, then the mother is tahara, she's not tummy from the birth. Because again, a baby that's missing like that, that's missing a major part of its skull like that, a significant part of its skull, is not going to be viable. The Amr of Gidol, Amr of Yechanan. Also, Rav Gidol says in the name of Rav Yechanan, another din, Hamapelas kamin apakta d'dikla. Suppose that the mother miscarries a baby that looks like the growth, apakta means the spreading out, the d'dikla of a palm tree. Meaning, Rashi describes, well, like this, you have a palm tree grows as a trunk, and then towards the top, it divides and spreads out into various branches. So here you have a baby. So here you have a baby that you have the hands and the arms and the legs stick out from the shoulders, and below that it's not really formed. Below that it's just a mass of flesh that's unformed. So therefore, in that sense, it looks like a right. So then, emo, it's a herd, or the mother is to her, because again, that can't really be considered a baby, right? Okay. It's fine.
the children who took thalidomide didn't have legs.
They had limbs that just were shorter than normal. I mean, so maybe, I don't know if that would be the same thing as what we're describing over here. I mean, there they had their whatever was left of their legs did come out in a normal place in the body. Just their long bones were shorter. The bones of their arms and legs were shorter than normal, but the arms still came out where they're expected to, and the legs still came out where they're expected to. So Bapashtus, the Gemara is not talking about that. Here we're talking about some kind of deformation that causes that both the arms and the legs grow out of the shoulders.
That's what they had.
No, it's not quite the same thing. No, that's what I'm saying. They had their legs grew out of the bottom of their trunk. They were just shorter than normal. Okay. All right. Okay. It's fine. So now we said that there's a discussion of Amiroyim as follows. Hamapelas mishaponov musmosim. Suppose that the woman miscarries a baby whose face is musmosin. So Rashi describes musmosin means mu'uchin ktsas. It's a little bit smashed in, but not as much as the next thing, which the Gemara is going to mention, that pon of tuchos. Pon of tuchos means flattened. So you have, there can be a baby whose face is completely flattened, like the whole face looks like a two-dimensional thing, like drawn on a piece of paper or something, versus you have musmosin means that it's partially bashed in or whatever, but not completely.
So
then, if it's musmosin, okay, Rabbi Yechanan Amar Imaitz Meya, Rish Lakish Amar Imaitz Tahara. Rabbi Yechanan says such a baby is considered a regular baby, therefore the mother is Tomei from the birth, and Rish Lakish says that not. Eisvei Rabbi Yechanan L'Rish Lakish, so Rabbi Yechanan says to Rish Lakish, how could you say that in that case it's not considered a baby just because the face is a little bit bashed in? Which implies, according to you, that such a baby is not going to live very long. It's not a normal baby that's going to live long. What about we learn later in the parak, hamapelas yod chatucha v'rego chatucha. If the woman miscarries a hand or a foot that's delineated, chatucha means it's a hand or a foot by itself. So it's chatucha in the sense that it's cut off from the rest of the body. But Rashi earlier explained that chatucha also means that it's delineated. It has the proper number of fingers or toes on it. Imotz meya leida, we say the mother is tamei from giving birth. The ein choshishin shami meguf otrum basa. We don't have to be concerned that maybe it came from a guf otrum. We just said before that if the baby below a certain part of the body was not well formed, then it was just a mass of flesh that wasn't formed into any particular shape. Then we said the mother is not tamei leida, because then we said it's not considered a baby. So we don't have to be concerned that maybe this hand or this foot came from such a baby. We can assume it came from a normally shaped baby that dissolved, that the rest of it dissolved and in the womb, and all that's left is this. Now, the im issa, we're going to talk about it on Omid Beis. We're going to talk about how could it happen that a baby dissolves in the womb. The Gemara is going to talk about it. But anyway, So the point is, Rabbi Yochanan said to Rish Lakish, "V'im Issa." Now, if you're telling me that even if the baby's face is a little bashed in, then you consider it not to be a baby, then listen, then the Braisa shouldn't just mention the case of that it could have conceivably been from a guf otrum and say you're not worried about that. Instead, it should say shamami guf otrum or mishapon of musmasin. It should have mentioned also the case that you don't have to be concerned that maybe this hand or this foot came from a baby whose face was bashed in.
Why?
Well, in other words, the point is, Tosfos says, because that one is much more similar to the guf otrum. We had several cases. We had the case before at the beginning of this on Chof Gimel on the days of the baby whose body looks like a person and his face looks like an animal. We had the case just now of a pacta de dikla where it looks like the spreading out of a palm tree or whatever. Right. That's the point. Tosfos says, ponov musmosin is much more similar to guf otrum. Guf otrum basically means that the body is misshapen. That the body is at the bottom. No, but the point is, in other words, ponov musmosin would mean, in other words, that the face is flat, is partially flattened, and in that sense, the face looks more like a body that wasn't delineated, that wasn't shaped properly, that just came out of the mass, like here you also have. Okay. Fine, but still, it's the same principle, though. We talked before about roshay otrum. That's what it means. Gufay otrum, we said, means that you have the a part of the body is some mass of flesh rather than being shaped into the proper shape of arms and legs. That's some sandals where the whole thing is flattened. Here we're talking about where you have, let's say you could have, that the, again, in the case where we're talking about gufay otrum, for example, meant that the top half of the body, we said, was normally delineated. You had a head with a face on it, you have arms, but you have a torso, but then at some point, from the, near the bottom of the torso or below the bottom of it or whatever, then the whole thing is either missing or just a mass of flesh. That's goof also, right. So now a face. That's
he has
muscle.
No limbs.
So he has like no limbs below that point, right.
And it's very different than in the face, the flattened face.
But no, the point is, so it's just the same. There is a certain similarity. Pun of Musmusim is similar to Guf Atum, where the features of the face are not delineated the way they should be. Again, Musmusim doesn't mean it's completely flattened out, but there's a certain similarity to it. So therefore, Rav Yochanan is arguing to Rish Lakish that the Braitha should have mentioned that as well. So therefore, Rav Papi changes to Omer Rav Papi, so Rav Papi is going to change the Machlokes. If the face is only a little bit bashed in, so then it is definitely a baby. Everybody would agree the mother is tummy, because that's considered to that extent a normal baby. To Tligi, the pun of Tuchos. The machloka says if the face is completely flattened out, so you have no delineation of features on it at all. So then the Ipchis, and then the machlokas is actually the other way around. We have the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish backwards. Rabbi Yochanan ama ima tahora, but Rish Lakish ama ima tmeya. Rabbi Yochanan would say that the mother is tahor because it's not considered
not a baby at all,
if it doesn't have the face delineated at all, and Rish Lakish would say the mother is tummy.
Why would he say she's tummy?
Well, because he would say it's still considered a baby. So the question is...
He has no facial features.
Yeah, but that's the question. But lois ve Rabbi Yochanan la Rish Lakish la Rabbi Yochanan meha. In that case, then shouldn't the braisa that we just brought before about the hand or the foot that the woman miscarried, where according to the first version of Yochanan used that as a question to Rish Lakish, that why didn't it mention pun of musmasis, then in the second version, Rish Lakish should be using that against Rabbi Yochanan, that why didn't it mention guf atum or pun of tuchos? The answer is the reason Rish Lakish didn't bother asking Mishum Deshanile, because if he had asked the question, Rabbi Yochanan would have answered Hainu Guf Atum Hainu Mishapanav Tuchos. They're both exactly the same thing. There's no reason to mention them separately because Panav Tuchos is an example of Gufay Atum. Gufay Atum again means that it has a body where some part of the body, from the navel or from the pelvis or whatever downward, is not delineated as it should be. It's just a mass of flesh. And pun of tuchos is the same thing. The face is just a mass of flesh, and there's no facial features on it at all.
But just the face.
But just the face.
The rest
of the body maybe is formed normally, but even so. Yeah. Okay. Another case.
So then what?
The bottom line is, so we said so far, so we have several possible cases of deformed babies. So far, we have the various cases involving ones that look partially like humans and partially like animals. So we said we have a couple of opinions what it has to be. We learned that the Chachamim said that you have to have all of those five facial features. Both sides have to look human in order for it to be considered a baby. And that's what's accepted by halacha. We said that if it has one eye or one leg, then it depends whether in the side or in the middle. We said that if it's a guf atum and it's atum below a certain point in the body, then it's not considered a baby. There you have a machlokas rishonim, which of the opinions is a halacha like the Rambam paskins according to Rabbi Yochanan, that it says only if it's missing from the navel downward. The Ravid argues that instead the halacha should be like Rav Zakkai, that if it's from the knee downward. And then the last case we have over here is we have this case of a pacta de dikla where the hands and where the arms and legs come out of the shoulders, and then we have this case of pun of musmasim. We said in the end we're saying pun of musmasim, the face is only partially flattened, and everybody agrees that it's considered a baby. And if it's completely flattened, then Rabbi Yochanan would say it's not a baby, and Rish Lakish would say it is. Next case.
Now, what are the Chachamim here? What they say?
Well, because we're talking within the opinion of the Chachamim. Here you don't have Machlokes Tanoim on these. This is strictly Machlokes among the Amoraim. Okay. Another case, the Gemara says, Bnei Reb Chiya Nafuk Kiryasa. The sons of Reb Chiya, their names were Yehuda and Chizkiah, they one time went out to the villages. And actually, in other places, explains that they went out because, for example, they had fields over there that they needed to supervise, whatever. But while they were there, obviously, they're Talmid Chachamim, they're expected to be teaching people Torah and answering Shiloh or whatever. Also, the Chameja Avuhin. So when they came back to their father, Amalahem, he asked them, Klum ba maisel yedchem, is there any case that was brought to you in Halacha that you need to ask me, that you want to check with me on, whether you came up with the correct answer? Amruloi, so they said, yes, ponim tuchos bali adenu. This case that we just talked about, ponim tuchos, a woman gave birth or miscarried or whatever, a baby with a completely flattened face, there's no facial features at all, the timenuha, and we declared her tame from the birth. Amr Lahem, well, according to Rabbi Yochanan, they shouldn't have done that. According to Rish Lakish, they were correct. But because Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish said it, Imay Tmeya. But Amr Lahem, but Rabbi Chiya tells them that's no good. Go back and tell them that what you declared Tomei is actually Tahar.
So he held like Rabbi Yochanan.
He held like Rabbi Yochanan. My daitaychu, because he says, what are you thinking? Why did you think to declare her tamei l'chumra? Presumably that was l'chumra. You're saying because after all, you said maybe it's considered a baby, maybe not. But after all, chumra da'asu the day kulahi. But it's a chumra that could come to a kula because the result of it is that then she's going to assume that if it's considered a baby, then it means not she's going to assume, but whatever. It comes out if it's considered a baby. Not only she has the yimei tuma, fine, let's say 14 days of the girl, but you're also saying that there's 66 days of dam toihar, when if she bleeds during those 66 days, she's still toher and mutter to her husband, which would not be the case if it wasn't a baby. So yes, you thought you're machmir, but now you're coming out to a kula, so go reverse that. And in fact, the Shach points out in that connection, I guess they did. I mean, history doesn't record that, but yeah, the Shach actually points out, and you have in Yerjaya, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Shach has a whole contrast over there about the halah, about the dinim of Isur v'Heter, how a Rav should go about paskin and dinim, and he points out in this connection, for example, that when a Rav paskins something l'chumra, he should be careful to say, I'm being machmir because I'm not sure. He shouldn't just say, the halacha is that it's the halacha is, and say that's machmir because. Because it's like this. We see in this case over here. They said you're tamei for the birth, and Rav Chiya is pointing out to them that the results are cooler from it. Whereas if they had said to begin with that we only said we're tamei because to be on the safe side,
but
Suvataru Mashitinesem doesn't mean declare her completely Tahar. It means tell them that it's not for sure Tomei, it's only a Suf. Like this, they said plain that it's Tomei, and he's telling them you can't. Yes, that's because it's a Suf. Is it considered a baby or not? Again, according to Rav Yochanan, it would not. She would be Tahar. Fine. But the point is, in other words, them saying that it's Tomei could result in a kula, and therefore, so a Rav, the Shach says, has to be careful with that kind of thing. He can't just say that something is Tomei when really it's because he's not sure. He should say what he should say, the facts, and that way people won't mistakenly come to call us from it. Okay. It's not. Now we have another discussion. Hamapelas bria sheyeshla beiz gavim or beiz shedroi. Suppose that a woman miscarries a baby that has two backs, gavim means backs, and two spinal cords. So on the face of it, it means Siamese twins. But wait, we'll get to that. Omar Rav, so Rav says, the Isha Ene Vlad, if a woman miscarries such a thing, then it's not considered a baby. Therefore, she's not Tomei from giving birth. Bebehema also ba'achila. And if such a thing is born to an animal, then it would be also to eat. Because we'll see in a second why he would say that. Shmuel says, no, in the case of a woman, it would be considered a real baby, and in the case of an animal, you would be able to eat it. So, the Maikomifli, what is the underlying machloikas between Rav and Shmuel? So like this, did Rav Chanan bar Abba? They're arguing regarding what Rav Chanan bar Abba said. So, Amar Rav Chanan bar Abba. Now, you have like this. The Torah tells us in two places the list of animals that have only one kosher simen, which you're not allowed to eat. You have the camel, the hare, the hyrax, the rabbit, or whatever it is, and the pig. And then, now, so it mentions it in Parashat Shmini. In Parashat Re'eh, it repeats that, and there it adds the word hashesua. Now, on the simple sense, on one sense of understanding the pasuk, that's not adding a separate animal. It's just clarifying, what do we mean? What does an animal have to have in order to be kosher? It has to have mafritzei ha'parasah shesua. It has to have a hoof that's fully split. Shesua means split. However, mafritz means a hoof. Mafritz parasah means it has hooves. Shesua means that it's completely split. Oh, actually, yes. So mafritz parasa means actually that it's split. Shesua means that it's completely split, as opposed to, for example, a camel, where it's only split in front and not in back. However, the Gemara explains in Cholin that another meaning of the pasuk is that it's telling us that there's a creature called shesua, which you're not allowed to eat.
And shesua because
so what? It's called shesua because it's split. So what does that mean? So Amar Chanan Ba'aba, Hashtua Briya Shiesh LeBeis Gabed LeBeis Shedrais. The Shtua refers to a creature that has two backs and two spinal cords. So what does that mean? So in other words, so Rav Chanan Ba'aba is telling us like that. No, not duplicated. It's telling us like this. In Parshas Shmini, the Torah tells us four animals that have one kosher simen, and you're not allowed to eat them. In Parshas Re'eh, it repeats that, but it also adds the detail. You should know you're also not allowed to eat a shtua. Now, so what is a shtua? Rav Omer, Briya Ba'al Molesta. So Rav says, when we talk about a shtua as author, there's no such independent creature. There's no creature living in the wild that has two backs and two spinal cords. So what is when Hashem teaches Moshe in Parshas Re'eh and tells him this word Hashtua, what does he mean? What is he telling him? Is also Bim'e'ima Agmere. He's telling him you should know if you ever find in the womb of an animal, of a kosher animal, you find such a creature that has two backs and two spinal cords. Well, again, the Parshas doesn't mean Siamese twins, yeah. But whatever, the point is some other kind. It means, you know, it's some deformed baby, whatever. So Rav would learn that that's what it means. That it, he's telling him, you should know, Moshe, and teach the Jewish people, if you ever shecht an animal and you find in the womb a creature like that and has beis gabbat or beis shedroit, you should know it's awesome. So therefore, according to Rav, there's no actual creature like that running around in the wild. The only place you would ever find it is in the womb. So therefore, according to Rav, you can't consider it a baby. So the Torah is telling you it's osur by the word hashtua, and therefore by a mother also, by a human mother also, there's no reason to assume it should be considered a regular baby that should make her tummy from the birth, because we see that's the only place you could expect to find it is in the womb. It's not a viable creature. Or Shmuel Amar, where Shmuel says Briya Ba'al Matisa, it is a creature that does exist, which within that, by the way, you have two different explanations in Mefarshim. Does Shmuel mean that there's an actual species that there's an actual separate species, or does Shmuel just mean that sometimes you can have a mutated animal born like that from a different species, from a cow or a sheep or whatever, which can go on to live a happy, healthy life, but not that there's a separate species like that? Interesting point, by the way, in this connection, a couple of Mefarshim from the 19th century, including the Saba Kabbalah writes this, the Malbim writes this, they say that according to the opinion that the Shtua is an independent creature, and according to the understanding that Shmuel means that it's an actual separate species, it may be referring to a creature that lived in South America. They call it by the name Tayasu, which is part of the scientific name of it. In common terminology, it's called a peccary. It looks a lot like a pig. It's basically the South American equivalent of a pig, but it has a groove running down its back. And therefore, in that sense, it can be said to have two, it doesn't literally have two backs and two spinal cords, but in that sense, it can be said to, yeah.
In Japan, they had that up to Hiroshima. They had a lot of...
Well, that's because of radiation. Yeah, okay. All right, anyway. Fine. So Shmuel says there is such a creature, and therefore, v'chi agmeri rachmona l'moshe ba'alma agmeri. So Hashem is telling Moshe, you should know, if you ever come across in the wild a creature that has two backs and two spinal cords, then you're not allowed to eat it. But if you find it in the womb, it's perfectly mutter. Well, therefore, by the same logic, if it can live a long, happy life outside the womb, whether it's a separate species or whether it's a mutant from the same species, then obviously, in the case of a human baby, it should be mutter. So Rav Shimi bar Chiya, who was actually Rav's grandson, says to Rav, I have a contradiction to your opinion. You're telling me that this creature is not considered a baby because it's not even going to live very long. But in Bechoris, when we talk about the dinim of what is considered a mum in a koyin, we said Rav Hanina ben Antigna Thaymer, Kol sheyesh le beis gabin or shnei shedroiz, any person who has two backs and two spinal cords, possible avoda, is considered a baal mum, and he's possible to do the avoda. But the fact that I have to mention it implies that he can grow up to adulthood. So he is old enough to serve in the business, yes? But not tzareifa, but he is a baal mum. So it's vakasha l'rab, so it's a problem on Rab, because Rab is saying that such a baby won't even live very long. So omalei, so Rab says to him, shimi at, you are shimi. It's either a question or a statement. So Rashi over here brings a few explanations. Rashi in other places in Shas brings various other explanations. Among them, Rashi says, one is that Rav Shimi is Rav's grandson. So like he's saying, as a term of endearment, Shimi asks, you're Shimi, like you're my grandson. I'll give you, you know how to come up with good questions, but I'll give you a good answer. Another explanation Rashi says is that Rav was a very sneer-sticker person. He wouldn't look up. So therefore, when Rav Shimi is sitting in front of him to ask him a question, Rav didn't recognize him. However, Rashi says, I don't like that explanation because we never find Rav using that expression to anybody else. Okay, then Rashi says another explanation. That's because he was very sharp and he was giving Rav a hard time. In other places, Rashi also explains a different explanation that it's like a question. You are Shimi, like you, smart Shimi, you don't know the answer to this. Yeah. Anyway, Shashadrosei Akuma. That Mishnah is not talking about where the person actually has two spines and two backs. That, I'm telling you, is a mutant who's not going to live very long. That Mishnah is talking about somebody who has a bent back, who has a scoliosis or something, so like his back looks as though he has multiple spinal cords or something because of the way it's shaped. Yeah, but not that he literally has two backs. Okay. So what does this mean? See, I have a contradiction.
That's what it means. It's
true.
It's like a camel.
A camel's spinal cord does not actually go upward. The hump is made completely out of fat. So a camel's spinal cord is straight like anybody else.
We just mean,
in other words, a person with scoliosis, so there was something, so therefore, yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. Sigmar says, mate, so you have a contradiction. This that we're saying. So again, so far, what are we saying? That Rav is saying that that an animal like that, if you find it, is also to eat, even if you find it in the womb. And Shmuel would say it's mutter to eat if you find it in the womb. It's only also after it's born. Amazing. So I have a contradiction. A Braisa says yesh po ubrin shehein asurin. Now we learned in Chulin that usually if you shecht an animal and you find a baby in the womb, then usually that baby is mutter to eat. The shechita of the mother makes the baby mutter to eat.
Yesh
be'ubrin shein asurin. But there are sometimes some unborn babies that are osur, and meaning in other words osur as well unborn baby animals that are osur to eat as neveva, even though they're alive, they're considered as if they were dead. La halacha. Number one, ben avar ladaka. First of all, if it was born after only 4 months from a small animal, we learned in Bechoris that small animals, sheep and goats, usually their pregnancies are 5 months. So this baby is premature, so therefore, as far as halacha is concerned, it's not going to live very long. Ben shmoina lagasa, or it's an 8-month baby for a large animal. Cattle have 9-month pregnancies, like humans. So therefore, hemenu lamata oster. So if it's that or any younger than that, then if it's any earlier, any more premature than that, then it's oster. Yosa, however, the Braisa says, as opposed to Mishi Eshle Shnei Gabin or Shnei Shadraz, as opposed to a baby that has two backs and two spinal cords, that apparently is Mutter. My Yosa. So what do you say? Yosa, what does it mean, Yosa? That it's excluded. Lav Yosa Mikval Ubrin Shafilu B'mei Iman Asurin doesn't mean that it's excluded from the case of, the question. It seems that the Braisa is saying that's excluded from the case of babies that are in the womb and are also. So this one, so in other words, a baby after a 4-month pregnancy, if you find it in the womb, is mutter. Only if it was born premature is it also, if it's not going to live. But as opposed to, it sounds like we're saying, but if a baby with two backs is found in the womb, even if it's in the womb, it's also to eat. Yossa, it's excluded from that category. So how does that work according to Shmuel? Shmuel said that it is mutter. The answer is, Rav Mataris Batameh or Shmuel Mataris Batameh. Rav will explain the Braisa according to his way, and Shmuel will understand it according to his way. Rashi points out, it's not like the Braisa is not really such a question on Rav. It's just the wording of it doesn't really fit so well according to Rav. Rav has to add words to make the Braisa fit according to his opinion, whereas Shmuel has to reinterpret it. Rav matayot b'tamei. Rav would understand the Braisa as follows. Ben abola daka ben ches lagasa. If the baby is premature, 4 months for a small animal, 8 months for a large animal, hey menu lamata also, if it's premature like that, or any more premature, then it's also. Bamed ronam amurim, Rav would add a phrase to the Braisa. When is that talking about? Shiyotza la'abra olam. If that baby was born premature, once it's born, then it's also. Abu b'me'e imashari, but while it's in the womb, it would be mutter, because it's considered part of the mother. No, so in other words, if you shechted the mother and then you found a baby in there that's only been gestating for 4 months, then you could eat it, right? Yotza Mishriyeshla, Shnei Gabin, or Shnei Shadroz, as opposed to if the baby that's found in the womb has two backs and two spinal cords, that's the Shtua, according to Rav, and then Rafu Bimei Imei Nami also, then even if you find it in the womb, it's also considered, because then it's not considered a baby, it's considered the Shtua, and Rav learns that the Shtua is also in that case. Okay. So that's according to Rav. Shmuel Matiris Tatame. Shmuel, meanwhile, will understand the Braisa according to his explanation. That what it means, both parts of the Braisa according to Shmuel are talking about where the baby did come out. Ben Abal Ladaka Ben Shmuel Lagasa Hemenu Lamasa also. If it's premature, 4 months or 8 months, then it's also. When is that talking about? When it is in fact premature, but if it is full term, then it is mutter, when it was born. As opposed to if it has two backs and two spinal cords, the afagav to kololei chadoshav, even if it's full term, if it comes out, then it's also, unlike a full term regular baby after 5 or 9 months, this one would be also once born. The meim is shari, but Shmuel would say the brayso is saying when it's in the womb, it would still be mutter because then it's not considered the shzura yet. Even though it has two backs.
Two backs.
But still, Shmuel would learn that as long as it's in the womb, it's still mutter. He would say the issur of shzura is only begins afterwards. Right. Okay. Now, an interesting point that we have to ask in this connection is who is the halacha like? Well, actually, you know what? Let's continue the Gemara. We're going to talk about who the halacha is like, and then we're going to talk about whether that changed at some point. Okay. So, the Gemara continues. Toni Tana Kamei de Rav. A Tana Torah Braisa in front of Rav as follows. Hamakelus brias guf she'enei chotim. If a woman miscarries a body of a baby that is not delineated, like we said before about otum, basically. So Rashi describes that the whole thing is like a board. There's no limbs delineated at all. It's round. Rashi describes round like a circle or a ball or something. So before, actually, otum was talking about where part of the body was properly formed and part of it was not. Here, the whole thing is shaped like a ball or something. Or let's say she miscarries a head which is unformed. Chotuch means cut. So it means that means delineated. Means shaped. Now it doesn't have the normal shape of a head. Later, you would think the mother should be tamei from giving birth to it. Talmud Lima, no. Therefore, the pasuk says, because you would think, after all, it was a birth. Well, that's the point. So the Braisa says, how do we know indeed that not? Talmud Lima, Ishak, he says, Riyab Yolda Zachar Lagamer. The pasuk says, if a woman becomes pregnant and gives birth, and then gives birth to a male, and Vayema Shmini Yimol Lagamer, and then the next pasuk continues, on the eighth day, you give him a bris milah. Therefore, and the pasuk describes over there the days of Tumah and the days of Tara that she has. So what we learn from the Hekesh, Misha Roy the Brit Shmona, only a baby that is capable of having a bris milah on the eighth day. Meaning, of course, okay, not all male babies are capable of having on the eighth day, because they could be jaundiced or whatever. But at least in principle, they have the shape of a baby that could have the bris on the eighth day. So then the mother is tummy from the birth.
So it's missing a leg or an arm.
No, well, that's a bris. No, well, he would have a bris. Yeah, but yeah.
So.
No, but that's the point. It's roy le bris shmona. Yosu elo she'en roy le bris shmona. As opposed to a creature like that's just shaped like a ball or like a piece of flesh or whatever, is not roy for a bris on the eighth day. Right. Tosfos gives a different girsa over here, not bris shmona, but brias neshama. If they don't have, they're not formed in a way that can have a neshama. Amalei Rav, so Rav told the Tana, once you say in that Braisa, the Sayim Bahochi, you should also complete the Braisa as follows. There's an extra line that you should add to the Braisa. You should also add that the sides that we're excluding, this case, where the baby just looks like a lump and has no delineation of features at all, also add the Sheyesh L'Shnei Gabon L'Shnei Shedrois, where it has two backs and two spines, because as we said, on Amar Aleph, Rav would say that the mother is not Tomei Leida from that either. Okay.
So hard to conceptualize
two. Okay, hold on. Well, again, on the face of it, we're talking about Siamese twins. But wait. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Sovel Amevin. Well, yeah. But wait.
Hold on.
Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Sovel Amevin Ugra Kavasei de Shmuel. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba thought one time to actually paskin like Shmuel that a baby born like that should be considered a baby and that the mother should be considered Tomei from giving birth to it. Amalei Rav Huna. So again, Rav Huna said to him, like Rav Chia said to his sons on Amar Aleph, my daitach l'chumra, what are you thinking? Apparently you're thinking to be machmir, to be on the safe side. But again, chumra da'ofi v'rikulahu, this is a chumra that could result in an inappropriate kula, because then it amounts to you're also saying that she has yamei toyar after this baby, and that's not the case, because if you're saying that's a suffer, you may tell what 63 or 66, depending whether it's a boy or a girl. But either way, if it wasn't a baby, she doesn't have those days of Toyha. If she bleeds during those days, she's in Nidura as well. So don't do that. But the point is, in other words, that if we say she has Yimei Toyha, if she bleeds during those 33 or 66 days, she's still mutter to her husband. As opposed to if she doesn't have those 33 or 66 days, then any bleeding during that time makes her a nidur azava, as the case may be, and also to her husband. Okay. And so Rav Huna also tells him, Ovid miha kavasei derah. Anyway, besides for that point, even if you're thinking that she's definitely, even if you want to think that it's not even a matter of suffix, I definitely consider it a baby, don't do that. Ovid miya kavasei de Rav, you should at any rate decide like a paskin like Rav to time along, because we have a general rule, hilchos k'rav le'isuri, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. We have a general rule that the halacha is like Rav in isur v'heter against Shmuel, whether it's l'kula or whether it's l'chumra. Yes, in this case, going like Rav results in a kula, because you say she's not tummy for the 7 or 14 days afterwards, but Rav against Shmuel, the halacha is like Rav in dini isur v'heter, regardless of what it is. Now, with that said, though, the Rishonim bring up a very interesting thing. The Ritva brings from an earlier Rishon named Rabbi Oshia, or some say Rabbi Shaya, whatever, who described a woman who was born where the upper half of her body was two separate bodies, and from the waist down it was one pair of legs, basically. So it was Siamese twins. Yeah, there are cases of Siamese twins that share the same legs, but the torsos and everything above that, two heads, two bodies, everything. Yeah. So she had two backs and two spinal cords. But they described that, for example, you can see that, like, you know, for example, when she eats with one mouth, she doesn't eat with the other. So in other words, you know, it's not like we're not necessarily talking like two separate people. In that sense, it is evidently one person, and she has two backs. And they described she went on to live for 20 odd years. How can you say then that
she's dead?
Well, whatever you want to call it, whatever. I mean, even if halacha, we consider it one person, you actually have a discussion about that in Menachos, whether it's considered one person or two. You have a story over there where a person comes to Rebbe with a shaila that my wife gave birth to a two-headed baby. If it's the firstborn, do we need one pidyon haben or two? Plumoy over there asks Rebbe, what if a person has two heads, then he's put Tram Tfillin on one head or on both of them?
Well, we're going to
die for over here. Anyway, so the Rishonim, the Ritva, and the other Rishonim who discuss this say, in that case, then, we see an actual case history where there was such a person with Shnei Gav and Shnei Shedroit. They lived for considerably longer than a baby than thought. So therefore, that should imply that the halacha is, after all, like Shmuel. And therefore, it should be considered a baby as far as Tumah V'Tahara for the mother. The mother should be Tumah, and the baby should be considered a baby. And so there are some Rishonim who pass them like Shmuel against what the Gemara is saying over here because of an actual case history like that. Okay.
But you cannot. You said that.
Usually we say that once something is established in the Gemara, but maybe the Ritva and these other Rishonim would say that after all, here you do have the opinion of Shmuel. And the only reason we're saying not like Shmuel is because of the general rule that the halacha is like Rab and Isser v'Heter. But in this case, since we have an actual case history, maybe, in other words, they would say, basically, maybe had such a thing existed in the times of the Gemara, then the Gemara itself might well have said that in this case, the halacha should be like Shmuel. Okay. It's a rare case, I guess. Because here we have an actual case history. Rab is saying that such a baby can't live, and here we have an actual case history of one that did. Okay. Going on. Omar Rama. Now let's get back to, we mentioned on Omar Aleph, we were talking about the case of a premature baby animal, where it was born after 4 months or less to a small animal, or after 8 months or less to a large animal. For Omar Rama, Harei Omru, now we know the Chachamim said, we're going to learn about it a little later in the Masechta, Isha Yeledes L'Tisha V'Yeledes L'Shiva. A woman is able to give birth after 9 months or after 7 months. Yeah, for example, we say that famously, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu was born in the 7th month, Shmuel Anovi was born in the 7th month, the Machlokas, whether Yitzchok was born in the 7th or the 9th month. The Gemara assumes throughout Shas that you have two tracks on which a baby can develop, a 7-month track and a 9-month track, and a baby can be born on the, a baby can develop on the 7-month track and come out completely normally. There's no, well, actually what the Gemara mentions, and I think we're going to have it later in the Masechta, is if the baby is born in the 8th month, then it's pens. We have to see whether its hair and its nails are fully formed. If yes, then it means it's a 7-month baby that was late. If not, then it means it's a premature 9-month baby, and then, as far as halacha is concerned, it's considered that it's not viable. Again, nowadays that we have incubators and whatnot.
7 months it's supposed to have, I'll see halacha, I'm talking about
yeah.
nails and hair.
Yeah, so in other words, if he's born in the 7th month and he has regularly developed hair and nails, then it means he's a baby, then it means he's a 7-month baby. So therefore, even if he's born in the 8th month, fine, he's a delayed 7-month baby. But if he's premature, then yeah.
Then it's,
right. Okay. So Rava says, okay, so we know when it comes to a woman that there's two possible tracks, 7 months and 9 months. What about the hemagasa, Yeledis Letitia? We know we established in Bechoros that large animals such as cattle also give birth after 9 months. The question is, Yeledis Letitia or Lo Yoda? Are they also able to give birth after 7 months or not? Is there such a thing as a 7-month track for animals? Omer of Nachum.
We never explored that in Chulin?
No. So Omer of Nachmi, Toshmaster of Nachmi, says, come, we'll prove it from the Braisa we quoted before. We said, hey, menu ulamata oster. We said if the baby was born during the 8th month or anywhere earlier than the 8th month, then we say, then we said that it's also to eat. So Rav would understand it's also once it's born. Rav and Shmuel would both understand that it's talking about after it was born. If you found it in the womb, then it would be mutter. So we see if it's any earlier than the 8th month, it's also my lava gasta. Presumably when it says hemenu ulamata is referring also to the large animals. So it means when we're saying with the small animals the 4th month or earlier, the large animals also. It means the 8th month or earlier. In that case, there's no such thing as a 7-month baby by a large animal, by cattle. The answer is loy adaka, not necessarily. When it says hemenu ulamata might mean only small animals. Might mean only cow, only sheep and goats. That if the baby is born during the 4th month or during the 3rd month, then it's also to eat. But not necessarily in the case of cattle. Maybe you would say again, just like with human babies, if it's born in the 8th month, then it's no good. If it's born in the 7th month, then it's fine. So the mother says, "Hi, my. What kind of a comparison? What kind of a way of explaining is that?" If you're going to say that the words "hemenu ulamata" in the Braisa are referring to a large animal, it's true. Then we would understand what the chiddush in it is. Because otherwise, exactly that, we would have thought the other way around. Since with a woman you can have a 7-month baby who's viable, you might have thought that with cattle also you can have a 7-month baby that's viable. And therefore, the Braisa, by saying "hemenu ulamata," would be telling us that there's no such thing; it can't live.
Means anything earlier
than 8 months. Than 8 months. So if you say, so again, the Braisa hadn't specified whether Hemenu Lamata is it talking about cattle, and it means that if the baby cow was born during the 8th month or the 7th or the 6th, etc., then it's also. And similarly with sheep, that if it was born during the 4th month or the 3rd, etc., then it's also.
Right.
If it's referring to the cattle, then there's a chiddush in it. With human babies, it's not like that, because a human baby could be born in the 7th month and live. So the Braisa would be telling us cattle aren't like that. Eli, I'm a badaka itma, but if you say that the words hemenu ulamata are only referring to the sheep and the goats, shita, well then obviously, baswasa yavhi mikrochayet, a human baby can't live after only 3 months of pregnancy. That's not viable. Why would we think that sheep or goats could? So then there'd be no chiddush in saying hey, menor lamata. Once we say that it's also in the 4th month, obviously it would be also anywhere earlier in the 4th month. The answer is no. Even so, we could still say that even then we need it. Because you might have thought to say kol boser tauti yarchi chai, tre yarchi chai. You could argue like this. Just like with humans, you can be missing 2 months. Boser means reduced. Just like with humans, the pregnancy can be reduced by 2 months when the baby is still viable. Instead of the 9th month, it can be the 7th month.
Maybe 3 months.
That's the point. Maybe we would have thought that the same way sheep and goats have normally 5 months pregnancies, but the same way as a woman can give birth in the 7th month and the baby can survive, maybe with sheep and goats, 3 out of 5 months is enough. And therefore, Kamash Malan, and that would be the Chiddush that the Braisa is telling us or not. So not necessarily do we know whether the Braisa is telling us anything about cattle, whether they can be born after 7 months or not, and be viable.
Al Pi Halacha, a baby is viable.
If it's born in the 7th month.
Not before.
Right. So again, nowadays they have incubators and other
things.
No, medicine nowadays changes that. That's another example of something that changed as a result of modern medicine, yes.
So it's not considered trait.
Right. Well, maybe. No, in general, if a baby survives more than 30 days, it's not considered a natal, it's not considered a stillbirth. So, yeah. So if they can keep it alive.
That's
so therefore, so if they can keep, right? So if they can keep it alive for 30 days, then yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. So So the Gemara has left the question open. If a cow gives birth in the seventh month, is the baby mutter or not? The Gemara has left the question open. Okay. Amr of Yehuda Amr.
Namely, a cow gives birth
in the ninth month, just like you.
And a sheep?
Sheep, 5 months.
5 months.
And goats also 5 months.
So 7 months?
That's what we're asking.
One,
well, so that's what we're asking. With cattle, if it's 7 months, is she like a human mother who's able to give birth in the seventh month and the baby can survive or not?
And here we don't.
So we haven't come to a conclusion. Because the Braitha could be understood either way. All right. Let's finish off. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hamapelos Dmus Lilith. Suppose that a woman miscarries a creature that looks like Lilith, which is Rashi describes. It means like, it looks like a demon. So it has a human face, but it has wings. So what's the din? Ima tmeya later. Okay, ima later. The mother is considered tamei from the birth. Vladhu, we consider it to be a normal human baby. Elashiyash like a fine. Yeah, it has wings, but other than that, it's still considered a normal baby. Tanya nami hachi. In fact, we learn like that in the Braisa. Amar Rav Yosi, Maisid is Simoni. It happened in the city of Simoni. It's someplace in the Galilee. A woman miscarried a baby that looked like Lilith. The case was brought to the Chachamim. The Chachamim said it is considered a regular baby. It just has wings, and therefore the mother has the regular days of Tum of a Tara like for any other baby. Okay. Another case. Suppose that she miscarries a creature that looks like a snake. Now, we talked about that yesterday because we talked about the question that snakes have eyes that look like human beings. So now we're revisiting. Hora Chanina ben Ochad, Shara
Bishura. They have eyes like birds on both sides of the
head. No, but we said as far as the shape of the eyes and the shape of the eye and of the eye socket. Fine, the placement, right. But anyway, Hora of Chanina ben Ochad, Shara Bishura, Imaitmeya later. Chanina, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, passed in that the mother is Tomei from the birth. So the Gemara tells. That's a baby. Holach Rav Yosef, the Sipur Dvarim Lufnei Rav Gamliel. So Rav Yosef went and told this over to Rav Gamliel, what Chanina had passed in. Shalach loy, so he sent a message to Rabbi Yeshua. He said, Rabbi Yeshua, Hanheg ben Achicha Uba, get your nephew to come and bring him over here. Because in other words, Rabbi Gamliel wanted to tell him off. Rabbi wanted to tell him off for it, but it's not correct. Bahali Chosan, while they were going, Yotza Kalas Rabbi Chanina Lekros, so on their way, Chanina's daughter-in-law, so this is now Rabbi Yeshua's grandniece, met up with her granddaughter in law, whatever, grandniece, whatever, came out to greet them. Amr Eloi, and she says to him, Rebbe, Hamakalas Kimin Nochash Mahu. She asks Rabbi Yeshua, Rebbe, if a woman, the very same question, if a woman miscarries something like a snake, what's the din? Amr Eloi, Imo Tahora. Maybe she had her, maybe a neighbor of hers had her, I don't know. Amr Eloi, Imo Tahora. So Rabbi Yeshua said the mother is Tahora, it's not considered a baby. Amr Eloi, so the daughter in law says to him, Balem Shimcha Amr Eloi Chamoisi Imo Tmeya. Didn't my mother in law tell, which is Rabbi Chanina's wife, tell me in your name that the mother is Tomei? But Amr, Rabbi Chanina's wife is Rabbi Chanina's daughter in law's mother in law. So the daughter in law is telling Rabbi Yeshua, my mother in law, which is Chanina's mother, Hanina's wife, rather, which is therefore Rabbi Yeshua's niece by marriage, told me in your name, Imotnea, that the mother is Tomei, because it's considered a baby. But Amar La Me'ezatam, and he explained what the reason was. The reason is because, as we said before, Hayova Galgal Eino Ogol Shaladim, because the eye socket and the eyeball is round like in a human being.
Who said that?
This is she saying that they, she maybe, yeah. Yeah.
Not him.
Yeah, right. That he, at the time, he told me that my, she's saying, my mother-in-law, Hanina's wife, told me in your name that the mother is Tomei, as well as the reason, because a snake's eyes resemble those of a human being. And Mitoch Dvareha, once she said this, Nizka Rabbi Yeshua remembered, she's right, I did say that, and I did give that reason, so it is correct, what Hanina paskined after all, that the mother of Tomei is correct. Shalach Loyal Rav Gamliel, so he sent a message to Rav Gamliel, you should know, Hanina didn't come up with this on his own, Mipi Hora Hanina. Chanina gave his sack based on my...
So Rabbi Yeshua
had forgotten that he had passed him that way. He had forgotten that he had
passed it. Say it was the other way?
So he didn't. Chanina had said that it's Tomei, that she's Tomei. When Rabbi Gamliel sends to Rabbi Yeshua, bring your nephew over here. I want to have a word with him. So Rabbi Yeshua didn't remember that he himself had passed him this way. So he thought, you know, Rabbi Gamliel is right. She is actually Tahor. It's not considered a baby. So Chanina made a mistake. And yeah, I'll bring him to Rabbi Gamliel, and then Rabbi Gamliel will give it to him. Yeah. Okay. Amar Abaya, so Abaya says, Shema Mina, we learn from this story, Surga Mirabanan, the Amar Milsa, when a Tamar Chacham says a din, a young Tamar Chacham, like Hanina, says a din, Lema Bataima, you should always be sure to give the reason along with it, Diki Mabtur Le Midkar, that way, if they remind him of it, he'll be able to remember. Like in this case, where Rabbi Yeshua's nephew's daughter-in-law gave him the reason, and he remembered that that was the reason that he, and if Hanina had said the reason to begin with, he had said, I got it from Rabbi Yeshua, then Gamliel wouldn't have had a problem with him. So now, what is the halacha? Now, before we discuss this point, and we mentioned about her being Tomei, but that we were talking within Rav Meir's opinion, where we said, according to one way of looking at Rav Meir's opinion, we said as long as it looks partially like a human being, as long as it has eyes that look like a human being, that's enough. Here, on the other hand, we seem to be saying flat out that she's Tomei, and the Rambam in fact passes.
Here, it's a different opinion.
Well, but nevertheless, on the face of it, before we were saying only according to the Meir would this be true.
Yeah.
Here, we're not mentioning that, and the Rambam in fact passed things like the story, which the Noisa Kalim on the Rambam asked, and the Ravid asked, what are you talking about? Before we said that's only according to the Meir. So one explanation is because we have here halacha l'maaseh. Here we have, it's not just a theoretical argument like we had before between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Here we have where Hanina and Rabbi Yeshua actually pask in that way in practice. And maaseh rav, an actual halacha l'maaseh is a very powerful thing.
How can you make an halacha from a maaseh?
Just the opposite. You can make halacha from a maaseh because it shows that not only they hold this way theoretically, but they hold this way even in practice.
In this case.
But there's no reason to say this case is different than any other. A woman miscarries something that looks like a snake. A snake is a snake. This shouldn't matter. There's no difference between one woman.
So we're saying the opposite of what we said previously.
So we're saying before we were saying maybe only according to the Meir would it be Tomei. But the Rambam learned, even though in general the halacha is like the Chachamim, that unless it looks like a human being, but in the case of a snake we make an exception, partly on the basis of the story, also Mephoshim point out another detail. Before we said with animals, one aspect of their eye is like a human being, but another one is not. The shape of the eye socket versus the shape of the eyeball versus the shape of the iris, etc., whatever the things were. As opposed to with a snake, the shape of the eye and of the eye socket is exactly like a human being's, and therefore that's much more reason to say that's considered human-like.
Yeah, but we said previously, I'm not sure who said that, that it's also the place of the eye, not only the shape.
That was
of the
one
eye.
Opinion. We had one opinion
that
like that. We had Rihanna.
It was an opinion.
Okay, but nevertheless, though, according to this, we would say that because, on the basis of this story, and because, after all, snake's eyes and eye sockets do exactly resemble those of a human being, then that's an exception to the rule.
You have on your phone.
There's different kinds of snakes.
Like a split.
Okay, there's different kinds of snakes, but we're talking about the actual shape of the eyeball. Okay, I'm not going to look right now because we have to dive in mind.
Snakes don't have pupils. They have like cats. They have the slits.
Okay, but it may depend on what kind of snake. I don't know.
Well, then getting into details.
Fine, but whatever. Okay, but whatever. The bottom line is that is the halacha, according to the Rambam anyway.
So it is,
if she miscarries something like a snake, then she's Tomei later. Again, the Ravid disagrees with that, but the Rambam has.
Well, the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam always.
Yeah, not always. Many times he doesn't. Okay, fine.